kicking.
Okay, sir, I'll pick up the phone.
Nothing's, is it open?
Good afternoon, sir. Could you please state your full name and your ADC number for us for the record?
Officer Russell Brashears, 214261.
Okay, so you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, sir. I'm going to introduce you to the board members conducting your hearing this afternoon. To my far left is the Honorable Luis Quinones. Next to him is the Honorable David Neal. To my immediate left is the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. Excuse me, my name is Michael Johnson, sir. I'm going to be acting as your hearing lead. Also with us today, sir, representative of the Department of Corrections, as well as your parole officer, is Mr. Westby, sir, I believe.
I can't figure out how.
Mr. Westby doesn't want to be on TV.
Here, I got it. I figured it out.
Okay.
Thanks. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
Sorry, it took me a minute to remember.
So yeah, Mr. Westby, sir. Sir, prior to your hearing today, you received and you signed a notification form that advised you that you're going to have this board hearing today. You probably received and signed on that form, sir?
Yes.
On that form, you were notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or to hire a licensed attorney to represent you at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today, sir?
No, I didn't hire an attorney.
So you're representing yourself today, sir?
Yes.
Okay. So at this time, I'd like to swear you and Mr. Westby in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Brashears?
Yes.
Do you see? And at this time, the department requests to make an amendment to page 1 of the warrant.
Okay.
In the lower left-hand corner of the page 1, there was a typo in the exhibit section. The conditions date should be May 31st, 2018.
And
it says 3/31/18, and that is incorrect.
Okay. Okay, so I just wanted to make a quick addition to your warrant. We have on here, it has April, and it should be May 31st as actual conditions data. That's the correction that we wanted to make on the warrant. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, so Mr. Brashears, your hearing is going to be conducted in two phases. In phase one, we'll determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. In phase two, we'll determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. We're going to start out in phase one, sir. You have three allegations listed on your warrant. I'm going to read each of those allegations to you. When I read you the allegations, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false. You understand what I'm requesting, sir?
No, not really. You mean like true, like you're reading it off of a piece of paper, or if I don't agree with something, what am I saying?
True, like I'm reading it off the paper. If you don't agree with the allegation, then you can say whether it's true or false, okay?
Okay. All right.
The first allegation on your warrant states that you're in violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 7, as demonstrated by your use of alcohol on December 13, 2018, per the task lab report dated December 19, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure?
I'm not sure of the dates. There's like three different allegations of that.
Yeah, you have one. So did you have a test on the December 13, 2018, sir? Is that?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
That one would be false then.
Okay. Then you have one space that you're in violation of Arizona condition supervision number 7.
Yeah, because I was on medication. I told my boss about that, so I should, it should have been okay.
Okay. So your next one says that you're in violation of Arizona condition supervision number 7, as demonstrated by your use of alcohol on January 2nd, 2019. Per the lab report dated January 3rd, 2019. Sir, is that true or false?
That is true.
That is true. Okay, and your next allegation states you're in violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 4, as demonstrated by your failure to attend substance abuse counseling on or about January 3rd, 2019, as directed. Sir, is that true or false?
I would say false.
Okay. Okay, so given that you stated that allegation one and three are false, we're going to go to the parole officer, Mr. Westby, to get some additional information. Mr. Westby.
On May 31st, 2018, there was a federal report to the SMI parole office, 801 South 16th Street, Phoenix, Arizona, 85034 for its initial intake. The federal was assigned task, color code, agency discretion, and given directions and instructions on how to provide a testable urine sample. On August 7th, 2018, the federal was assigned task pain number 5889. On December 13th, 2018, the federal submitted the urine sample with treatment assessment screening. On December 19th, 2018, the sample subsequently tested positive for ETG per task lab report dated on December 19th, 2018, and there is a copy of that lab report attached to the warrant.
Okay, so what was not true about that?
What date was that again?
It was actually on December 9th, well, the actual date of the test was December 13th of 2018.
Okay, that one, I was on a medication. I told my parole officer about it after it was prescribed. And they had me on not just my PIN code, but they had me on two different simultaneous colors and a PIN code, so I was dropping like every week, so that's why I was a little confused.
Okay, all right. All right, so, well, we're going to give you an opportunity to further discuss that when we go to phase two of your allegations, okay? Phase two of the hearing. So, in allegation number three, Mr. Westby.
On January 3rd, 2019, a federal reported an SMI office to be staffed with CCO Murray and Senior Policy Venture for their analysis report on January 2nd, 2019. CCO Murray informed the federal that he had been approved to go to the Maricopa Reentry Center, MRC, for use of alcohol. The federal asked about the program, and CCO Murray informed him of the program. CCO Murray provided the federal with documentation for MRC program. Federal looked at the documentation and then stated, quote, I can't do this program. I know after a week I will fail and you will be taking me back to prison, so I'd rather go back to prison, end quote. On January 3rd, 2019, the federal reported into the parole office and was taken to Alhambra Prison.
So what's not true about that, sir?
It's not exactly what I said. I was having a panic attack because I thought I was being violated. She told me that she wasn't going to violate me. And they didn't provide any documentation about the program. They said it was, I'm going to a halfway house in North Phoenix. Well, I live in Pinal County. So I told her that I don't want to leave my parents' house. And the supervisor just gave the correction officer a nod and they put me in handcuffs. Nothing was explained to me.
Okay. All right, we'll probably discuss that when we get to phase two. I'm going to go ahead and move us on to phase two. So based on the admission of Mr. Bashir and allegation number two, and based on the information that we received from the parole officer, Mr. Westby, and along with the information in warrant number 2019W0018, I'm going to move to find that Mr. Bashir was delinquent as he did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he may have lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed. Okay, motion by myself, second by Ms. Rittenhouse. Agreed, Mr. Quinones. Okay, so we're going to go into phase two of the hearing. During phase two, we're going to receive some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Westby. Then I'm going to go over some information with you in the barn and give you an opportunity to present any other information that you'd like to present to the board, okay?
Okay.
Okay, Mr. Westby.
Mr. Bashir was released in Arizona Department of Corrections on May 31st, 2018. He was arrested January 3rd, 2019 by ADC staff, no new charges. He was back in DOC custody on January 3rd, 2019, with a projected community supervision end date of March 9th, 2019, 0 stand days. Current conviction, 2014, aggravated assault, 4.5 years. His prior convictions in 2007 for theft, 1 year. 2008, forgery, 3 years. 2013, forgery, 1.5 years. This is his fourth term in DOC. CUIR score is a 2-3, mental health score is a 3 with SMI noted, substance abuse score is a 2. There's no gang information noted. Prior terms of supervision, 2007. TIS release, arrested on new felony for fraud, reached CCD in jail. 2010, TIS release completion, 8 months. 2014, TIS release of absconder, 9 days. Arrested on current offense, reached CCD in jail. This disciplinary violations are moderate, with drugs and alcohol noted. Other arrests, 2005, theft, Arizona, juvenile probation. 2012, domestic violence. There were two instances, or two arrests, different arrests, and they resulted in misdemeanor convictions with probation. His community risk score is a G6B6.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Westby. So, Mr. Brashears, I see when you were released on May 31st, you were released from prison. Your approved placement was with your father and mother at 1414 Harvest Road in Santan Valley, Arizona. Said you did not have any other residence. Were you still staying with your parents, sir, at the time that you were?
Yes, and they didn't update it, but just a new address, just moved right down the road, but I still live with my mom and dad.
Okay. And so, sir, were you working during that period of time?
My lawyer said that I'm not supposed to work until they get my Social Security to come through.
Okay.
Which should happen in March.
Okay.
I was with the Mark Center. I went because I'm masterminding the community. I went to the Mark Center that's in Mesa, and they had me sign a W-2 where I could start doing work for them. And be employed by them, but my lawyer said not to wait for me to wait until after that.
Okay. So as far as your programming goes, sir, looks like on that June 26th of 2018, you were referred to Task Lion Color. You were responsible for one sample that was on June 28th, which came back positive for alcohol. Looks like on July 9th, you were referred to Task Color Beige. You were responsible for one sample that came back July 11th of 2018. It was negative. And then you had on August 7th, you were referred to the Task Color Code 5889, and you had six samples. August 29th, you were negative. September 18th, you failed to submit. September 26th, it was negative. October 8th, it was negative. And then looks like in December, you tested positive for ET, for alcohol and opiates, and then you had a positive for alcohol back in January of 02. So, sir, what happened? It looks like you were doing really good.
Okay. I was doing good, and, you know, the only time that I actually drank alcohol and got caught was in the New Year's. The one before that was not opiates, it was codeine, and those promethazine or codeine was given to me by my doctor had alcohol in it. And they tested me while I was actually using that. And then before that, I'm kind of lost here, was like the programming and stuff. Oh, they were having me on like three different colors, so I was going like once a week. The failure to appear wasn't a failure to appear. My parole officer realized that she had me on three different colors and told me one time when it came up like back to back, she said, you don't have to go. So it shouldn't be showing up as a failure to sample. But yes, I did on New Year's, and she told me she set me up too, but I did do that. On New Year's, I went to my brother's house and had a party that we were at my brother's house, my dad and everyone.
Okay. So under your sanctions, sir, since it looks like positive, due to the positive you rate for alcohol and using marijuana, before your marijuana card was verified. Did you get your marijuana card, sir?
I had it, and I had the day that I got my card, I gave it to my parole officer, and that was before I went and tested. It was the day after I got out.
Okay.
It hadn't came in the mail yet, so I could give her the, I don't know what she has to put the numbers in the computer, but the supervisor, it took him about a week to okay it, and in the meantime, I did test, but that was the only thing that was in my system.
Okay, so you said that you admitted drinking at a pool party at your brother's house the day before the caller was called. You drank approximately a six pack of Bud Light beer?
That was at that time, yeah. There's been so many times I had to go test and I get a little confused. But yeah, that was like about a month, within the first month. She told me that she wasn't really worried about that.
Okay.
She wanted me to just not use like meth and, you know, anything like that, like I used to, which I haven't done in a long time.
Okay. So it looks
I haven't
like
committed any crimes other than the supervision number 7. I haven't committed any crimes since 2014.
Okay.
I live with a law enforcement officer. It's my dad. So, you know, I don't know. I don't have much else to say.
Well, like on January 3rd, that you came into the SMI office, you were directed, you told them that you went to your brother's house with the family drinking, and they stated that you had not drunk anything since that day. You knew that you shouldn't have been drinking, but you had
yeah,
that's
true.
Crimes.
That was a true statement.
Okay.
The THC was, I already had my card at that time, but I was drinking at my brother's house like within the first month, and then the last time that I did it was on New Year's.
Okay. So you were taken back into custody while you were at the parole office?
I went, yeah, she called me and she said, we just need to talk to you, come down to the office. I was with my dad at the time, so he said, okay, I'll drive him straight there. We got there within an hour, and we had to wait for the warrant officer to show up or something. She said she was at lunch, but she was in the back. So when she finally pulled me back there, I was having a lot of anxiety, and I didn't know, I would have, if I had time to actually know what was happening and think about it, I would have went into the program, because I will admit, you know, that especially in the past, I've had a substance abuse problem. I didn't know what was going on. She said it was like a halfway house in North Phoenix, and I told her I didn't want to, I want to live with my parents. I didn't want to move out of my parents' house. She said, well, we're not going to make you move out of your parents' house, but we're going to need a 30-day commitment out of you. And I said, I don't know how that's going to work, like being out on the street, because I would just probably fail, is what I told her. And then her supervisor nodded to the correction officer and they put me in custody again.
Okay. So why do you think, sir, you wouldn't survive if you weren't at your parents' house?
It's just part of my mental illness, and in the past, that's why I've had to, you know, resort to things like stealing and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
To support a drug habit, not having a place to live.
Okay, so you have about a month left before when you were released. At that time, you won't be on any parole or community supervision. Do you know that?
Yeah, well, I still have my clinic, my mental health clinic that I go to. I live in Pinal County. It's just a little ways out there, but I have a pretty good support group out there. If anything, it's probably be a good thing.
Okay. All right, so let me see if the board has any questions for you.
Okay.
Okay. Mr. Westby.
Yeah, there was a criminal on December 12, 2018. From P.O. Murray. It says that December 12, 2018, C.C.O. Murray received a call from Benny. She said the defender is drinking alcohol, said he is self-medicating, he's not taking his medication all the time like he's supposed to. She said the defender is drunk right now and he used to run a car and throw the phone at her. Benny stated that the defender wanted to talk, so she passed him the phone. The defender did get on the phone, and he stated everything his mother stated was right, but he claims his mother gave him money for him and his brother to get alcohol. However, Benny stated she gave him money to go buy items to make s'mores. He said that he knew that he did something wrong. That's why he called. He says he knows he's, quote, fucked. She also claimed that his mother was just mad because his father was home and had a long day, and she did not want to explain to his father why Otto, the defendant, and his brother were drunk. Benny was in the background stating that the defender was fighting with his brother. The defender stated that his mother was mad at him for just walking in the room without asking and told his mom. Of course, his mom took his brother's side. When asked why he was drinking, he said he did not have any more medication and was down today. CC Murray informed the defender that he needed to make an appointment in order to get new or more medication, but he continued to deny giving him money to buy alcohol in the background. The fellow was talking about why he should not drink and the side effects it has on him with his hep C or lack of medication. The fellow was told he is marijuana if he needs something to help him when he feels down, not alcohol. The fellow was also told that he needs not to have his mother and father give up. He needs not to have him, his mother and father give up on him behind all his actions. It's hard to make sense of this. As the fellow stated, he understood, and then she scheduled him for the UAA task, which he subsequently tested positive for the ETG for the alcohol.
Okay, thank you, sir. So say no additional questions coming from the board as we come up on the conclusion of the end. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board, sir?
That I wasn't drinking that day in June. That was around the time that I got the prescription, I think.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't actually drinking. I was not drunk that day. My mom is bipolar, and she gets in the middle of things sometimes. But, we were just having a little bit of an argument. There was nothing that was violent or anything like that.
Okay.
And I tried to explain that to Ms. Murray, so pretty much, I don't really agree with a lot of the things that she said that she heard over the phone. But that's it.
Okay, so the board's going to go into discussion. While we're in discussion, we will make a determination whether we revoke or reinstate the community supervision, okay? I need you to stay on the phone, sir, so you can hear the conversation. However, you need to remain silent while the board's in discussion, okay?
All right,
the board's now going into the discussion. Mr. Preciers, proof that he was out, he was working with his PO, that he was actually doing good. He says that he did resort to drinking alcohol one time. He drank almost a six-pack of beer at his brother's house. He says the other indication was from medication that he was taken, and he had submitted that information to his doctor, although he's not cited for marijuana in there. He said that he did have a marijuana card. However, I believe he may have used marijuana before he's gotten that card authorized by his parole officer. Mr. Preciers will be released May 9th of 2019, which is right at a month from now, a little less than a month from now. I think it's going to be best for him just go ahead and complete his time when he's released. He won't have any parole or community supervision. He'll be able to move about freely and hopefully not have any negative contacts with law enforcement again. And I say that because he doesn't feel like if he goes to a halfway house that he's going to do well. So I think he just completes his time. He has it less than a month ago. He gets out. He's not on parole or community supervision. That's my opinion. However, I'm willing to listen to the rest of the colleagues.
Sounds good.
Okay. Yes, but I make a motion to revoke the community supervision. Move to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Bashir's, find that he was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapses, probably about to lapse into criminal ways of company as he did lapse and start back to use alcohol. That will be my motion.
Second.
Second, Ms. Rittenhouse. Agree, Mr. Quinones. Okay, so that's going to conclude the hearing at this time. Mr. Bashir, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. So you will be released on March 9th of 2019. This is a little less than a month away from now. By the time that you're released, sir, hopefully you won't be on any parole or community supervision. You'll be able to move about freely, stay back with your parents, and hopefully, sir, not have any more negative contact with law enforcement or ever have to come back before this board again. So I want to thank you for taking the time to appear before this board. That's going to conclude your hearing at this time. If you would go ahead and put the, just lay the phone down and let the next person come in, okay?
All right, thank you.
Thanks.